the thief comes. Jesus says there's a thief, and the thief wants to come, and what the thief wants to take from you is your abundant life, or your life, or the life that God has planned for you. So we've been looking at this from the Amplified Bible, and Amplified Bible in John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this: the thief comes only, what's the only reason that he comes? Only in order to steal and kill and to destroy. That's what he's coming for. That's what he's going to do. He comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. His life should be fun.
Yes.
Should it not?
Right.
Should Christians have the best life? Should you and I experience an enjoyable life? See, that's a bunch of bunk when you say that Christians aren't supposed to have fun. Christians are supposed to have a blast.
Right.
Christians are supposed to make life fun.
Yep.
Enjoy life, he says, that, and not just enjoy it, but you have life in its abundance until it's so full until it actually overflows. Isn't that wonderful? How's your life? Is your life that way? Is your life full, abundant, overflowing? Are you happy about life? Do you get up in the morning with a smile or a frown on your face? You look forward to the day and you say, this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Or do you say, oh my gosh, I got to do it again. You see, if you have that negative attitude, then what's happening is the thief is coming to steal and kill and destroy abundant life from you. We've talked about six aspects. And what we've tried to just talk about are six things. This will be the sixth one. And ways that the thief will come and take life from us. Take abundant life from us. Take good life from us and leave us with a mediocre life. Or leave us with a spoiled life. Or a despaired life. Or a depressed life. He comes. And what we've tried to look at is some areas and some ways that he comes. And the first message that we talked about were choices. Choices that we make. We make over 2,500 choices every single day. And some of those choices don't mean squat, but some of those choices make the difference of you having an abundant life or living a life of despair. Choices decide where we go. Choices make the difference of an abundant life or our life that's not abundant. Another one that we talked about was conscience. We talked about common sense. God will talk to us through common sense, and it's called our consciences. And God will speak to us, and we call it common sense, but it's really our conscience telling us to do something or not to do something. And we're led by our conscience. And if we'll listen to our conscience, we'll never make a mistake. We'll go through life in its abundance if we'll just learn to listen to the Holy Spirit through our consciences. A third one was priorities. Priorities. We allow the enemy to come and steal and confuse and mess up our priorities. We get things out of order. We allow things to get in the way of getting the abundance out of life. We let things become priorities in life that should not be, that shouldn't even be in our life. And sometimes even people get in the way. You know, we're trying to help people and they consume our time or our thoughts or whatever that we're doing so that we're not able to do what God's called us to do because our priorities are out of order. So we talked about that. Another one that we talked about is relationships. See, relationships are so necessary to have an abundant life. If you're around sad, mediocre people that aren't going anywhere in life, then you're going to be sad and you're going to be mediocre and you're not going to go anywhere in life. But if you're around people that are abundant and looking at life and its fullness and wanting to experience all that life's got, then that's where you're going to go because you're going to become just like your friends. And then last week we talked about hope, being prisoners of hope. If we can link ourselves, if we can anchor ourselves in hope, become prisoners of hope, then hope will get us out of any deep valley that we ever go through. We won't stay there. We won't get stuck in the mud and the mire of just being there, you know. We won't be unhappy. We'll always have that hope. That hope's going to take us out. It's going to get us out of that valley of dead bones. And it's going to take us on into the good things that God has for us. We'll become prisoners of hope. And He'll reward us back twice what we ever had before if we can just hope on in God. This is the sixth one. Today I want to talk about thoughts. Thoughts, our thinking. You see, our lives follow our thoughts. So the title today is Abundant Life, Higher Thoughts. I want to challenge you today to get your thoughts higher. I want you to lift your thoughts higher than they've been. I want you to, how high can you think? How well can you perceive? What can you think on the good things on higher levels than you've ever thought before? Because God's given you a mind to think with. And our minds are always going to follow our thoughts. The enemy's playground is our minds. Now the Bible doesn't say it exactly that way, but it's very similar to that. And what the enemy will do is if he can control your thoughts, he can control your life. Because our lives follow our thoughts. If you are a depressed person, it's because you have depressed thoughts. See, if you're an unhappy person, it's because you're thinking unhappy thoughts. And your life is going to depression, or your life is going to unhappiness. Because your life always follows your thoughts. Your thought life determines your emotions. If you're a sad person, you're having sad thoughts. If you're a depressed person, you're having depressed thoughts, because your life is going to follow your thoughts, and your thoughts control your whole life. If you're having pornographic thoughts, then you're going to have a pornographic life. If you're having adulterous thoughts, you're going to have an adulterous life. Now flip that around. If you're a happy person and you're a laughing person and you're a wholesome person, then you're having happy, joyful, wholesome thoughts. Because your life is going to be controlled by your thoughts. And what we do in life is determined by the way we think and what we think about. Our thoughts affect our emotions. If you're an angry person, you have angry thoughts. You're an unforgiving person because you have unforgiving thoughts. Your thoughts control your emotions. And your thoughts control your health. Your thoughts can stimulate your body. You could get stressed out. You can get upset about stuff, and your blood pressure will go up simply because of your thoughts. You can be aroused physically because of your thoughts. Can you not? Because our bodies, our lives are affected by our thoughts. The term for it is psychosomatic. Psycho, the brain. Soma, the body. Your mind affects your body. It has a direct correlation. A lot of times people are sick because they can't think right. They think sick thoughts. Think about being sick. They think depressing thoughts. They think stressful thoughts. We choose, and this is really what I want to hit today, is we choose what we think about. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. But we choose what we think about. Listen, nobody or no being can make you think anything. Can make you think about anything. God won't do it, and the devil can't do it. We choose what we think about. Every single one of us. If we think on a particular thought, then that's our choice. We make choices to think about thoughts. We have time, and we'll catch ourselves sometimes in the middle of a thought, and we can even stop ourselves from thinking about something in the middle of a thought and say, I'm not going to think about that. I've done that so many times. I'll just catch myself thinking about something that I don't need to be thinking about, and I say, I am not going to think about that. I cast that down. I bring that down right now in Jesus' name. Now, it may come back. I'll do it again. But I refuse to have bad thoughts, because bad thoughts take me in bad directions. But we get to choose what we think about. And what we've got to train our mind to do is think God's thoughts. What we've got to do is have our minds renewed. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say it in love, but if you're depressed, if you're a depressed person, nobody's making you depressed. You have chosen to be depressed. You made the choice to think about depressing thoughts. If you're an unhappy person, no one's making you unhappy. You've chosen to think unhappy thoughts. It's not your circumstances, it's how you think about your circumstances that control you. Do you see what I'm saying? You can be going through your darkest valley, but going through a high time in life at the same time. You can be going through the worst time in your whole life, but if you'll think good thoughts, you're going to come out of there. And it's not going to control you, and it's not going to hold you back, and it's not going to keep you from having your destiny and your abundant life that Jesus came to give you. See, it's your thoughts about your circumstances, not your circumstances. It's your thoughts about people, not people. It's your thoughts about things, not things. Thoughts control our lives. Thoughts set our destiny. Thoughts determine whether we have an abundant life or we don't. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to challenge you. What are you thinking about? What are you allowing your mind to do to you? What are you allowing your thought life? Where are you allowing your thought life to take you? Is it taking it to the higher things that God has for us, the plan that He has for us? Or is it taking us into the muck and the mire? Are you living a mediocre life? Are you going on in God and experiencing the abundance that Jesus came to give us? Are you allowing the thief to come in and plant thoughts in your mind and taking you backwards and holding you down and keeping you from experiencing the abundant life that God has for you. We began this whole series with a video that I did on a song by George Jones called Choices. We're going to play that again for you because thinking is a choice. We're going to look at the video and then I'm going to come back and have some more thoughts about thoughts. So let's watch the video. It's true, isn't it? We live and die with choices. And choices are fed by thoughts. Our lives follow our thoughts. If you have your Bible, I want you to look into the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And I'll give you another one to look at as well. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. And while you're turning, I'm going to pray for us. Father, help us. Lord, you've shown so many powerful truths to us all about choices we make and priorities of life and listening to our conscience and relationships that we have. And Lord, I ask you today that you'll help us now come to this place of thoughts, that we understand that you've given us a mind to think, that you're not going to control our thoughts and you're not going to allow the devil to. But what we think about is a choice. And we can choose to think about higher things or base things. We can choose to think about success and abundance or failure and fear. So I ask you, Lord, today as I begin to share these thoughts, that you'll open our ears and our hearts. We'll be able to receive what you have for us. Because, Lord, I really want us all to experience the abundant life and the plan for the hope and the future that you have for us. And I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, some people say that when my situation gets better, then I'll have a better attitude. When I get things worked out and things go better in my life, then I'll be better. And no. See, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work that way. The way Jesus says that you got to do it is you got to get your thinking right because your life follows your thinking. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7 says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." See, our lives follow our thinking. As you believe you are, that will you be. If you believe that you're going to be prosperous and successful, and then you begin to follow that, and that becomes your focus in your life, then that's what you're going to be. On the other hand, if you allow, because your family failed and because your friends fail, then you accept failure, then you start thinking of yourself as a failure or insignificant, then that's how your life's going to be. You see, we become what we think. As you think, you become. As a man thinks, or a woman thinks, or a child thinks, then so shall they be. We need to be able to think correctly. See, if you're thinking you're going to experience just a mediocre life, you're just going to tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on until Jesus comes, then that's the life you're going to live. But if you think of yourself as abundant and experiencing the best that God has for you and chasing after that dream and allowing your thoughts to take you, then that's what you'll become. You become whatever you think. Again, if you have negative thoughts and critical thoughts about people or things, then you're going to have a negative and a critical life. If you find bad in everything and you become critical about everything, then you're going to drag people down and you're going to have a negative and a critical life all of your life. On the other hand, if you're a happy person and you find the good in everything and you're finding the glass half full instead of half empty, instead of being partly cloudy, you're seeing it's partly sunshine, and you start seeing the good in everything, then you're going to have a good and a prosperous and a happy life. Because as you think, you become. Life is a series of thoughts. I told you that we have like 2,500 choices that we make every day. Can you imagine the numbers of thoughts that we have every day? And so many of those thoughts determine our destinies. So we have to start thinking like God wants us to think. Like, for example, I'm an overcomer. God says, I'm not a failure. I am an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. That's what God says about me. I am a child of the Most High God. Right. Are you? You see, and if you start thinking like that, you can't fail. Because if He's for you, who can be against you, right? I have the favor of God on my life. Blessings chase me. That's what the Bible says. If I walk after His ways and do things His way, He says, they'll overtake me. I don't have to go chasing to be blessed. Blessings come and catch me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the victory in everything through Christ Jesus. And when I start thinking that way, I'm not depressed anymore. I'm not letting anything hold me back. I'm going on in life and I'm going to accomplish the good thing that I'm setting forth to do. But it all begins with our thinking. It all begins with how we think about ourselves, how we think about life, how we start thinking when our feet hit the floor in the morning. The Bible tells us a story in the book of Judges chapter 6. It's about this guy named Gideon. Remember the story? Now we pick up Gideon. He's this coward guy. He's a little coward, fearful person in a wine press hiding. Now, he's not in a wine press pressing out wine. What he's in the wine press doing is beating him out a little wheat so he can have some flour to live on. And he's hiding from the Midianites. The enemies of Israel was the Midianites at that time. They had them in bondage. And so here was Gideon hiding in the wine press, beating him out a little life. One day the angel of the Lord shows up, pops up just out of nowhere, and says, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Now the way God saw Gideon wasn't as a coward, wasn't as a fearful person, but the way the Lord saw Gideon was as a mighty man of valor, a warrior, a conqueror, somebody who could take the people of God and help get them free from the bondages of the enemy. The angel comes, the messenger comes to tell all of us that sometimes in our life. Somebody's going to tell you, "Hey, listen, you're a mighty man or a woman of valor." Let me show you this verse in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, 'The Lord is with me, thou mighty man of valor.'" See, the Lord thought of Gideon in one way, but Gideon thought of himself in another way. Gideon thought of himself as the poorest of the poor, as the least of the least, a coward hiding in a wine press. How do you think of yourself? What do you see yourself accomplishing? What do you see yourself doing in life? A mediocre life? A bad life? Or do you see yourself experiencing the abundance that Jesus came to give you? It's abundant life, not abundant death. Walls of gold, streets of jasper, gates of pearls, oh, that's fine one day. But right now, I want it now. Don't you? Don't you want some of it right now? Sure we do. It's an abundant life. He says, "I want to give you an abundant life, a joyful, happy life." Here's how Gideon thought of himself in Judges 6:15. And he said, Gideon said unto the angel, "Oh, my Lord." That's what a lot of us say. "Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I don't know if I believe all that. Oh, my Lord. I don't know if I can do it. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house." What's he saying here? He says, "This is the way my family's always done it. This is the way my parents thought. This is how they lived. This is how my grandparents thought and my grandparents lived. And I'm going to think this way and I'm going to live this way." Well, let me notice that God had something more for Gideon. And what I'm here to tell you today is God's got something more for you and more for me than we've yet experienced. God has an abundant life for us. And it's according on how you think of yourself. Gideon says, "I think of myself as the poorest of the poor, or the least of the least. I'm a nobody. I can't do it. Who am I?" So what God did for Gideon is what He wants to do for you and me is take us through a series and a process of renewing our minds, changing how we think. And when we come into the kingdom of heaven and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, the Holy Ghost goes to work on our minds. He wants us to think differently. He wants to renew, wash our minds, give us a brainwashing, if you will. Through His Word, we're washed by the water of the Word. And as we're washed, then we become something totally different. We start having confidence in ourselves and confidence in life. And we start finding ourselves doing things that we never dreamed we could do and going places we never dreamed we could go and accomplishing feats that we never thought we could accomplish simply because we changed the way we think. And so Gideon went through this process. And the very first thing that Gideon had to start getting his mind on and his thoughts on were the Lord. The Lord says, "I am with you. I'm with you. You stop thinking about your poor family. You stop thinking about your poor life. You stop thinking about how things are going bad for you. And you start looking at me. You start thinking about me because I'm with you. I'm going to take you there." And through this process, as Gideon started thinking higher thoughts, and as he started lifting his eyes up and getting his focus on where he was going and not where he had been, as he began to change the way he thought, his life changed. And as you read the story about Gideon, you find that he got confidence in himself. He became the warrior that God said that he really was. And then we find, sure enough, eventually he thinks this of himself. And in Judges chapter 7 and verse 15, here's how Gideon now is commanding and giving orders and going to war for God. He says, "Get up!" That's what he's telling his troops. "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camps into our hands. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You see how his thought changed? Now he says, I am hooked up with the Lord. My anchor is in the Lord. Right now I'm going to go on and be with the Lord. I am the warrior. I am the mighty man of valor that God said that I am. And that's what God wants to do for you and me. He says, you're a child of the Most High God. You're a king's kid. You've got something to do and something to accomplish and something to prosper in. And he has a plan for you. And what the enemy will try to do is do you just like he did with Gideon. Get you fearful and afraid. Get you down, humped down, trying to beat out a little life. Trying to just make it. Trying to get through. That's not God's plan for you. Jesus came to give you life and that more abundantly. See, don't settle for mediocre. Don't settle for less than the best. Get up like Gideon. Let God renew your mind. He's got something more for you. And the first thing any of us have to do is get our minds on the Lord, get our eyes on the Lord, lift up our vision. Start thinking higher thoughts. Stop thinking about we're cowards. Stop thinking about what we're afraid of. Stop thinking about that and become what God says that we are. Overcomers. Victors. Not victims. God has a plan for us. You're overcomers. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do you believe that you're a conqueror? Do you believe that? Do you believe that of yourself? Are you just down in the wine press beating you out a little life? See yourself, start thinking of yourself as the mighty man or the mighty woman or the mighty child of valor. See yourself as God sees you and God thinks about you. Because all of a sudden, things will start changing in your life and you'll start experiencing things you never dreamed possible. Because God has a plan for your life. The Bible also tells us about Moses. Moses went through this mind regeneration. Moses was on the backside of the desert keeping a few little sheep for Jethro. He walks past this rock, this mountain one day, and there's a burning bush. Moses says, hey, I'm going to go check that out. He went to that burning bush, and the bush started talking to him, you know. Angel of the Lord starts talking to Moses out of this bush. It says, I heard the cry of my people, and Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you know how the story goes. Moses came up with all of these excuses. He said, as you look at Moses and you start studying his life a little bit, you find out that Moses was kind of a woe is me kind of a person. You know, I've got this bad hand dealt to me in life. And things have not gone well for me. You know, woe is me mentality. Do you know people like that? You know, I've got a chip on my shoulder. And I dare anybody to knock it off. You know, kind of thing. And that's kind of how Moses was coming across. You know, Moses says, he starts giving all of these excuses, and you and I want to do the same thing when we have things going on in our lives, and we know that God wants to take us to another level and take us up a notch and make us more abundant and make us more prosperous. We come up with all of these excuses. And that's exactly what Moses did. And the first thing he says is, who am I? Exodus 3:11 shows us that. Exodus 3:11, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? See, that's what we are. Who am I? Who am I that I should be abundant? Who am I that I should conquer? Who am I? Who am I that I should be able to do these things? Well, I've just told you, you are a child of the Most High God. You are the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the child of the Most High God, and He's going to take you through every situation in life. He's going to bring you through, and you're going to be victorious. Who am I? Who do you think you are? Because that's who you are. Because as you think in your heart, that's how you are. See, I want to challenge you today. How high can you think? What do you think of your life? Where are your thoughts taking you? Are they taking you to abundance? Or who am I? So he came up with another excuse. In Exodus chapter 4, in verse 1, he says, and Moses answered, what if? Well, what if I fail? What if it doesn't work? And that's what we do. You know, what if? What if it doesn't work? What if this doesn't work out like you said, Pastor? What if this doesn't work? Well, what if it does? What if you become a millionaire? How will you ever know unless you start thinking like a millionaire? What if it works? You sure can't lose anything, right? You can always come back to here. What if I had never left Griffin and came here to pastor a church? What if I'd have said, who am I? Who am I to teach the Bible? Who am I to pastor people? But you see, I got to live my dream because I wouldn't settle for that. I had to change my thought process and how I thought about a lot of things, and I'm still doing it. But I'm telling you, you got to get out of that mentality of that old and cast that down and take that off and put on a brand new mind and go on in Jesus, because you got to focus on Him. And I know that the Lord is with me. See, I'm focusing on Him. I don't focus on people. I mean, I know you know that. I don't let people stop me. I go on with God because He's my King and my Lord, and I know that He's got a plan for me. So you come up with excuses. Who am I? What if? Or maybe I'm not educated enough. You know, Moses said that. He says in Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent." Now Moses had a lot of education. But he said, I don't talk well. You know, I don't talk good. See, you always find something. Well, if you need more training, get more training. Listen, you are blessed to live in a state that will send you to school for free. You need more training? Then you go get more training. You need more education? Then you go get more education. Don't let the enemy steal the abundant life that God has for you. Don't let him sneak in and tell you that you can't do it, because you can do it. If you think it, you can do it. As you think in your heart, so are you. Our thoughts determine the directions of our lives every single time. God has a plan for you. He has something for you to do. Moses thought of himself as insignificant. I am a nobody. Gideon thought of himself as insignificant. I want to tell you, there are no insignificant children of God. Amen. You are significant to God. He has a great plan for your life, just like He had a great plan for Gideon's life, just like He had a great plan for Moses' life, just like He had a great plan for Billy Graham's life. Come on, somebody. Just like He has a great plan for anybody's life, He has a great plan for your life. You're significant in the kingdom. God believes in you. He believes in you more than you believe in you. But you got to start believing in yourself, because it's your thoughts that hold you back. Your thoughts determine how you self-worth yourself. Your thoughts determine your destiny. And we get to choose our thoughts. So we have to get rid of stinking thinking. We've got to get rid of the old man. We've got to get rid of that, because we're born again. We're born anew. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 4:22, it says this: "For we're taught, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires or deceitful thoughts, to be made new." Look at this. New where? Where does this newness come? In the attitudes of our minds. You see, we stop thinking the wrong and the negative thoughts. We start thinking God's thoughts, and we start conquering and being victorious and experiencing the abundant life. I love the way the Living Bible says it. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, For your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Isn't that good? Always, constantly. Don't let anything stop you from thinking better and higher thoughts. See, the new man doesn't just come with a prayer. Just because you come down and shake my hand and pray the sinner's prayer, or at the end of this service as we all pray it, you pray that prayer, that's not going to change the way you think. You have to put off the old and put on the new. You have to put off and let God start doing a work in your life, like He did with Gideon, like He did with Moses, like He does with everyone. And your new life, your refreshed life, is going to come as you start thinking new thoughts. As you start training your mind how to think. Thinking God's thoughts. Thinking of what God says about you. Thinking and prioritizing correctly. And if we just do these simple things that we've talked about, if we make correct choices in life, we're going to experience abundant life. If we start allowing our conscience to speak to us better and more, we're going to stop making mistakes. If we choose our relationships the way that we should choose our relationships and make sure that people are around us that have the right purpose in life and are going the right way in life, then we're going to go with them. And they're going to go with us. If we hope right, if we make ourselves prisoners of hope and keep hoping in God and hoping on in faith, then, you know, your faith will work and you're going to experience great things in life. But it's all going to come back to our thinking. We got to get rid of stinking thinking and start thinking like God. Thinking the God kind of thoughts. It's all about focus. What are you focused on? We got to focus upward. We got to focus on higher things. We got to focus on upward thoughts. We got to set our eyes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author." Now watch this verse. This is cool. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." In other words, what the Bible is saying to us is that what Jesus did, how Jesus did it, how Jesus didn't allow the circumstances and all the scorning and the cross and all that to stop him from his goal, was setting his eyes on his throne. Setting his eyes on his goal, thinking, having higher thoughts, rather than thinking about what was holding him down and the beatings and the cross and all the things that he was suffering, rather than thinking about that, he was able to focus on the cross. Think about the throne. He was able to focus on the throne and think about the throne, and that was what was able to get him there. If he didn't, he would have gotten wearied. He would have gotten wearied in his mind. That's what that verse 3 says, Hebrews 12, 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." See, what happens to us is we faint in our minds. We give up in our minds. We don't just get tired in our bodies. We faint. We give up in our thought life. We stop thinking right. We begin thinking wrongly. We start thinking evil things and bad things and negative things. We can't do it rather than we can. And all of a sudden we find ourselves fainting and losing out on the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. See, we've got to get our focus right. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. Colossians 3:2 says this: "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." And I love what the Amplified says here. "Set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things." Set your mind on higher thoughts. See, you're not supposed to think like the earth, like the world thinks. We think higher thoughts. We think of an abundant life. We think of good things, higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. How high can you think? How high can you go? Because the only thing that will stop you is your mind. The only thing that will stop you from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came to give you is your thoughts. As you think in your heart, so are you. Thinking controls us. We follow our thoughts. Our lives continuously follow our thoughts. So what do you think about life? Where's your mind taking you? Or where is your mind stopping you from going? What's happening in your thought life? And it's so sad that some people go through their whole lives and never change the way they think, never change the way their family thought, never change the way their life went. So I don't know what happened to me. You know, Moses nearly spent his whole life on the backside of the wilderness when God called him to be the greatest deliverer that ever lived, other than Jesus. He nearly wasted his life. I don't know what happened to me. My mother had an 11th or 10th grade education, and my dad had a 6th grade education. I've got several degrees. We always lived, as I was growing up, kind of in a poverty, impoverished home. Never had much. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't do that. A lot of it was the woman that I married. But I want you to know that God doesn't want you to live in a poverty state. He wants you to have an abundant life. And what happened to me is I changed the way I thought. I didn't think like my parents thought. I didn't think like my relatives thought. I went on. And what you have to do in life is you have to train the way you think. You have to set your focus. You have to fix your eyes. You have to train your mind. And if you will, then you'll go on in life and you won't spend your life in mediocrity. You won't spend your life in failure. You'll experience the good things that God has for us. It's such a shame to watch people go through life finding fault with people. being critical about people, always thinking negatively about people. See, they don't understand that they're defeating their own selves by their thoughts. It's so sad to go to see people going through life with bad thoughts and negative thoughts that are only holding them back. I want to see life be abundant for everyone. And Jesus says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. Our lives are like an automobile in many ways. Thoughts are kind of the fuel. And we have forward gears and reverse gear and a neutral. The amazing thing is that it takes no more energy to go forward than it takes to go in reverse. And a lot of times, it doesn't take any more energy just to sit in neutral. And that's what so many people do, is they just sit in neutral. Where are your thoughts fueling you to go? So you get to choose whether you go in forward or neutral or reverse. And if you're in forward, then you're going forward towards the purposes of God and the plan of God that He has for your life and the abundance that He wants to give to you and me. If you're in reverse, you're backing away from the plans of God and the abundance of God. It takes no more energy to go forward than in reverse. But so many people never experience the good things of God, and they spend their whole lives never experiencing all that God has for them. Oh, they'll go to heaven when they die, but life could have been so much better. Life could have been so much better for your family and for you. Oh, God wants to have you an abundant life. Relationships are extremely important. And we talked a whole message about relationships. Relationships are extremely important on experiencing the abundant life and on the way you think. You're going to think like the people that you hang with. And there's a story, and it's a joke. Just want to tell you a joke today. There were these two farmers. One farmer was very positive. He was a very positive farmer. And if it would rain, he would thank God. He would say, thank you, Jesus, for the rain. Oh, it's so beautiful and so wonderful. You cool the earth and you bring refreshment to the earth through the waters. And we just thank you for the rain. And the other farmer was very negative. And he would always say, well, if this rain doesn't stop, then we can't get out and work our fields and the weeds are going to take over. You know, and one was, so we'll call one Mr. Farmer Positive and one Farmer Negative. You know, and so every time that something was going on good, Farmer Positive would find a positive aspect to it, and Farmer Negative would always find a negative aspect to it. And they were neighbors, and so they wanted to go hunting together. So Farmer Positive had this dog. He was a lab. He'd go out duck hunting with him, and he wanted to show his duck hunting dog off to Farmer Negative. And so they went out to the duck pond, and they were in the boat, and they were out there with the decoys, and sure enough, a duck came over, and they shot, and the bird came down. And so Farmer Positive said to the dog, go get him. So the dog jumps out and miraculously runs across the top of the water, goes over there and picks up the duck and runs back across the top of the water, jumps back into the boat, puts the duck down at Farmer Positive's feet and squats down and looks at him. Well, Farmer Positive looks at Farmer Negative, and he says, what do you think about that? He said, just as I thought, that dog can't even swim. You know people like that? I don't care what it is, they're going to find something negative. I don't care how wonderful or how miraculous it is, they're going to find something negative. I can't be around people like that. People like that bring me down. They make me think like that. They make me start thinking bad things about people. They start making me think bad things about life. They start making me think negative things. I can't be around people like that because they bring me down. And I'm encouraging you today, don't be around negative people, negative thinking people. Be around people that are thinking about going somewhere and doing something in life and accomplishing something and experiencing the best that God has, because you're going to become just exactly like the people with which you run. Let me show you this verse in Corinthians. It's from the Living Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says this, don't be fooled by these who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. Psychologists tell us that our lives follow our most dominant thoughts. Our thoughts take us somewhere. Our lives follow what we think. And if you're around negative thinking people, you're going to be a negative thinking person. If you're around positive thinking people, you're going to be a positive thinking person. If you're around people that are thinking good things and are going somewhere in their thought life and are going somewhere in life, then you're going to go somewhere in life. Relationships are very, very important into your thought life. You hang with people that think pornographic thoughts, you're going to end up thinking pornographic thoughts. If you hang with people that think adulterous thoughts, you're going to end up thinking adulterous thoughts. But if you hang around people that think like God, if you hang around people that think abundance, if you hang around people that are thinking good things, then that's what you're going to be able to do too. See, our lives follow our thoughts, because as you think in your heart, so are you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but look at this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now let me give you something here. The way we transform our lives is by our thinking. Your life will never change until your mind changes. Until you start thinking like God wants you to think, you'll never experience what God wants you to experience. Be transformed. Your life will be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do you know why people come to Jesus and they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but their lives never change? Because their minds never change. They never think differently. They think they get it all at once. No. You got to put off. I showed you that verse. You got to put off that old way of thinking with all of its corruption and desires and thoughts. And you put on the new person. You start thinking differently. You allow the Word of God to come into your life. And that verse ends up by saying, do this. If you will do this, if you will be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and be renewed in your mind, and let that renew your life, then you will know what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. You will know the abundant life God has for you. You can know it because it all begins with thoughts. Your mind is taking you someplace. Your thoughts are taking you to destruction, or your thoughts are taking you to the abundant life that Jesus has for you. Paul says it this way in Philippians, and my wife quoted it to you just a little while ago. I'm going to show you it, and she had no idea that this would be the final verse. Paul says it this way, finally, you know, I can say a whole lots of things to you, Paul says, but finally, here's what I want to say to you. Brothers, whatever is true, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you want a good life, if you want an abundant life, and if you want a life that accomplishes something, then think on these things. Think on these things that are honorable, these things that are noble, these things that are right, these things that are pure, these things that are lovely. Think on those things. You'll have a peace and you'll have an abundance of life, unlike anything you can even ask or think. So it's a process. God wants to take you through a process. In Psalms, it says this. You know, what's the first thing on your mind when you hit the floor in the mornings? What is the first thing that are you looking forward to the day? Are you glad that you get to go for another day and experience another day and have some more abundance? Because Psalms 118:24 says this: this is the day that the Lord has made. I am going to rejoice and be sad in it. What does it say? Be glad in it. See, this is how I look at the life, my life, David says. This is a day the Lord's given me, and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And then in Deuteronomy 28:2, he talks there about the blessings. He says, if you'll do it this way, if you'll adhere to what I'm telling you and doing, he says, then the blessings of God will overtake you. And see, every day when you get up, you start thinking good things, that there is a blessing of God that's going to overtake you, that's going to come upon you, that life is good, that life is abundant, that we're going to have a great life, we're going to have a great time, that God's got something waiting for me today that I've never experienced before. I'm going to do something that I've never got to do before. I'm going to go places that I've never been before. I'm going to live the abundant life that's rightfully mine. You got to realize today that your thoughts are taking you somewhere. They're taking you to abundance, and your life is following your thoughts. You can't be bound up. It's a choice. You got to think. You got to decide, what am I going to think about? Am I going to think negatively or positively? What am I going to think? It's a choice. You can't be like Gideon. You can't be down there beating out a little life and experience the abundance that God has for you. You can't be like Moses making all kinds of excuses. You got to put off that old and put on the new. You got to allow God to take you through the process and renew the spirit of your mind. And if you will, He's going to take you places that you've never been. You're going to experience things you've never experienced. And you're going to live the abundant life that God has for you. You believe that? How many overcomers do I have in here today? Have I got some? Will you give the Lord a hand? Amen. Amen. We're coming. We're coming.